Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Fair. A bunch of people trying to get the ride to spin, and they would get it almost halfway down, and then it would go right back up to the very top with my kids still upside down. I'm panicking. My partner's panicking.
Workers finally brought everyone down to safety. The operator blames a computer glitch. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Yeah, about 15 minutes or so. Hang she up. Says at one point, like, her 11-year-old passed out. Like,
hey,
she's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I'd be going crazy. I'd, like, climb up there myself to get the kid.
The operator blames a computer glitch?
Hey, it sounds like
Have you been to the fair lately?
What are you
is there,
right?
Is there even a computer?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
I mean, I guess it's better than raising taxes because you have to be an absconder in order to face the penalty. But people are kind of bent out of shape over this. I was trying to paint it as nicely as I could.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You did well there.
So it was a 5.5-hour committee hearing before the Finance and Personnel Committee. And this is just, I think, Department of Public Works for the city of Milwaukee. 5.5 hours.
Woo-hoo.
City of Milwaukee is going through Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson's proposed $2 billion budget for the coming year. And this came out in testimony from the Department of Public Works before the committee.
Our hope is and our goal is that in 2025 we'll be fully staffed with parking enforcement officers. We're getting close to that as we speak today. So the hope is that we'll generate additional parking citations issued.
Hey, we're really excited about being able to write more tickets.
So you're just deciding to write more tickets instead of just going after the people that are, quote-unquote, breaking the law?
Well, they would be breaking the ordinance,
yeah, right,
as it were.
Right, but
so the Department of Public Works says they haven't been fully staffed, and they believe once they get fully up to staff they'll be able to write a whole bunch more tickets, like 45,000 more tickets next year as opposed to this.
Suggesting that a lot of people are actually parking
they're out there already.
Okay, I got you.
We just haven't been able to find them.
We're just going to write more. Why not?
We're not going to make them up. I mean, now that would be a story.
Anyway.
Point being, right, there are people out there that we can't catch. We don't have enforcement all of the time. Now, there was some pushback on this. They think they can make another $2 million in revenue for the city in the coming year by both raising the fees or fines that they charge for various parking violations issuing more citations. A little bit of pushback here from Alderwoman Marina Dmitrievich of Bayview. She's the chair of the Finance and Personnel Committee.
So when we look at the citations and the increase there, these are people that are violating state or local ordinances. So these are people actually breaking the law. So we're not hitting
it. Yeah, Eric.
With 1 minute who ran into the grocery store, that violator?
That could possibly be.
Okay.
Yep. And we're talking to everyone. You know, if you violate.
All right, I kind of stepped on it there. So Dmitrievich is saying, like, okay, so, you know, like people like some mom who just ran into the store real quick. That's who we're talking about, this violator of the law.
Technically, they are violating.
Yes, that was his point. And then that was Commissioner Gerald Krushke there of DPW also saying, look, we've all done it. We've all gotten tickets. And, like, there are occasions where you feel like it's been delivered unjustly, but mostly you come out and you see that ticket and you're like, damn, they got me. Right? So that's his point is, like, we're not going after – I'm not tracking down pedestrians and just making stuff up, but it is one way to plug a budget gap. $2 million, they think, and they're going to write that. So careful if you're parking in downtown Milwaukee. 716 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
You've heard the Vince Lombardi quote. It's quoted in various ways, but it essentially was from a Vince Lombardi address to the locker room, and he told the boys three things that matter: God, family, Green Bay Packers.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
So there's a new verse in the Packers Bible.
He said, God loves those who run to the football. So we said it's Campy 316.
Packers linebacker coach Anthony Campanelli, or Camp, or Campy as they call him, apparently came up with that phrase early in the season, was sharing that with the defense. and the players branded it like a Bible verse, Campy 3:16. That was Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
This goes back to talking about running to the ball constantly, and you're usually rewarded if you do. So I guess you can give Camp credit for his phrase that God loves those who run to the football.
God loves those who run to the football.
Very nice.
Hafley, whose defense, of course, forced three fumbles doing exactly that a week ago. You know, the whole D is built on taking the ball away, and they will definitely have their work cut out for them. Formidable Texans offense comes to town at 5-1 on Sunday. Noon kick at Lambeau.
Thursday night football, Broncos beat the Saints 33-10. Baseball, the Mets on the brink of elimination. They lose big again to the Dodgers 10-2. They're down 3-1 in the NLCS. To the ALCS, I got a couple of calls I got to play for you here. Cleveland, bottom of the ninth. The Guardians down by 2 to the Yankees. They're also down in the series 2-0. About to go down 3-0 in the ALCS. There's one man on. Two outs, two strikes for John Kensey Noel. He's otherwise known as Big Christmas. He is up.
Oh! Oh, oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree! John Kensey Noel! The biggest swing of his life!
Oh my gosh, that was a bomb too. As soon as he hit it, it was gone.
His bat toss was awesome too, as if the bat were like on fire and hurting him. I gotta get this out of my hands.
So that was Brian Anderson with the call on TBS, our guy BA. So that would tie it. They would ultimately go on to win it, which is another great call. A home run by a former Brewers prospect, David Fry, won the game for the Guardians. However, gotta bring back the Noel home run. This is the call from the Spanish station, which was also covering the game.
Plato, Plato. Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! John Kensey Noel! Acaba de empatar en el cuarto de la vida en octubre!
Amazing call.
I don't speak Spanishy, but it was like 15 seconds in before they tell you what happened. Right? It's just a lot of singing.
You
can probably figure it out.
Feliz Navidad!
7:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Some decision Wisconsin news. Vice President Kamala Harris waking up in Michigan this morning. The former president, Donald Trump, also will be stumping in Michigan today. On Thursday, it was all about the Badger State for the VP.
Election Day is in 19 days, and here in Wisconsin, early voting starts next Tuesday, October 22nd.
That was Harris in La Crosse. She made three stops across the state on Thursday. One at UWM here in Milwaukee, then La Crosse, and then another one in Green Bay for a visit. Dealt with some hecklers in La Crosse.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. You meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Mahoney.
Ah.
Again, she then went to Green Bay and then is now in Michigan today. So while Harris spent the night on the campaign trail, she skipped the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner in New York City on Thursday night. This is a tradition. This charity event for Catholic Charities happens every cycle. It happens every year, but every cycle, and both candidates are usually on hand for it, but not this time.
Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer.
Governor of Michigan.
Yes, Trump with a zinger there. And that's usually how these go. It's supposed to be a good-hearted riffing and then also self-deprecating, kind of teasing back and forth. But she was not there. However, the VP did send a video where she spoke with Molly Shannon of SNL.
Is there anything that you think that maybe I shouldn't bring up tonight?
Well, don't lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor.
Indeed, especially thy neighbor's election results.
No, a little shot at Trump there. So a little bit more from the former president.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
All right, so he did take a shot at himself.
Yeah, so,
all right.
And he made a joke about that, too, the fact that it's something he can't really do, make a joke of himself.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope, I've got nothing.
There's nothing to say. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me for a hell of a long time.
Assassination joke.
Okay.
Wow. One last
Only
one.
Only one person can make that joke.
President Biden is overseas. President Biden was not there, of course, and Trump commented on that.
Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less is if he had a show on CNN. They had nothing.
CNN there. Also made fun of Harris for her laugh.
I must say I was shocked when I heard that Kamala was skipping the Al Smith dinner. I'd really hoped that she would come because we can't get enough of hearing her beautiful laugh. She laughs like crazy.
All right. That was a tepid response in the room.
Big news happening today regarding the former president. So the former president's motion to delay releasing new evidence against him in the election interference case brought by special counsel Jack Smith was denied by the judge on Thursday night. So more details on this case are going to be released later today. You may recall that we had like a 165-page
week and a half, maybe?
Yeah,
right?
Which had some...
It was full of all kinds of stuff.
Well, this one apparently will be as well.
In the first 165 pages of the brief that came out, there was some pretty damning evidence. And this will be a redacted appendix still, but it is expected that more evidence will come to light against Trump and that the public will see that before the election. And that is something that Trump has really been trying to prevent.
That's CBS campaign reporter Katrina Kaufman there. She did say, though, that the judge has said, look, you can also release an argument if you'd like in this case before any time, meaning like if he wanted to push back, he could do that.
And she also pointed out that Trump is welcome to submit his arguments before the election if he wants the public to see both sides of this issue.
So we'll see if perhaps that happens before the election.
How's that phone call with the lawyers today? What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Where's my side?
Yeah, right. So we'll find out what some of those incriminating details may be at some point today.
They are fire. What is Packers safety Xavier McKinney talking about? We'll do it in sports at 7:45.
What's worse than being stuck upside down?
I mean, how long you got? Like lots of stuff, like getting okay. stabbed or...
Fine. Outside of a stabbing.
Getting shot.
What's worse than being stuck upside down yourself is watching your children Ooh. Stuck upside down.
Video captured the horror of mom Allie Metzger watching as her 8 and 11-year-old children got stuck dangling upside down on the X-Drive ride at the Arkansas State Fair.
A bunch of people trying to get the ride to spin, and they would get it almost halfway down, and then it would go right back up to the very top with my kids still upside down. I'm panicking. My partner's panicking.
Workers finally brought everyone down to safety. The operator blames a computer glitch. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Yeah, about 15 minutes or so. Hang she up. Says at one point, like, her 11-year-old passed out. Like,
right,
she's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, I'd be going crazy. I'd, like, climb up there myself to get the kid.
The operator blames a computer glitch?
Hey, it sounds like
Have you been to the fair lately?
What are you
is there even a computer? Yeah, that's them, their computers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not my, but don't blame
it's not
me.
This piece, this cog that I forgot to put into
it's got
machine.
A button and then it goes. I never seen any computer on any carnival ride.
I'll have to follow up.
Yeah, we have to follow up on our guy here. That's worth a second interview. 7:39 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Coming up on 7:44 on this Friday morning, just after 8 o'clock today, and we'll have it in the top of the hour news too, but just a trove of new information on a story that captivated the state, that 3-year-old toddler who went missing from Two Rivers in Manitowoc County months ago. Didn't find him. They finally discovered his body in a wooded area, what, about a month and a half ago?
That seems about right, yeah.
And now for the first time we have charges. We've had charges related to Elijah Vu, but charges now directly in connection with his death. His mom and mom's boyfriend are now charged in connection with his death. And I've just been combing over the criminal complaint, Eric, because it's got a ton of new stuff in it. And it's 18 pages long.
Oof.
As it will have to be, because they still ultimately will have to make their case. There's all sorts of what this looks like, but when you go to court, you got to be able to make your case
right.
beyond a reasonable doubt. So we'll get into some of the new information that is in this criminal complaint and perhaps an uphill climb for prosecutors in this case, why it may be a challenge for them. That's coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning. Sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
7:46 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Whiteout conditions predicted at Lambeau Field Sunday. I thought it was going to be 70 degrees. Packers fans encouraged to wear all white.
Both things can be true.
To the game, as Packers, the players will be in white jerseys, white pants, white helmets.
They're fire. They're fire. It's like something you see on Madden when you change up like the colors to the jersey.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney. Loves it. Loves the uniforms.
They're definitely dope, and it's going to be fun playing in them.
That's cool.
It amuses me how big a deal the uniforms are to these guys.
It just changes up the workflow a little bit. Something different.
Don't you love McKinney more every day?
Yes, I do. You're right.
Even though last week he had a terrible game. Because he didn't have his sixth straight game with an interception.
Sorry to have two on right. Sunday.
You also like to hear this. McKinney just loving his time here in Green Bay.
It's a big vibe. It's fun, man. We enjoy each other, and you can see that with how we play. You can see that with how we communicate with each other. It's just been fun, like, being here. Like, every day, I'm happy.
And it's all good That's when you're awesome. Winning. Yep. And the Packers are 4-2. We've got the 5-1 Texans coming to town. Noon kick Sunday.
Thursday night football, the Broncos beat the Saints. Bucks get rolled in their preseason finale to the Mavericks 109-84. At one point, I was watching that. Dame didn't play. Lillard sitting there eating popcorn that he got, like he must have bought or something.
Was eating popcorn.
Like literally sitting on the bench eating a little bag of popcorn.
I guess if you're not playing.
To baseball, the Mets on the brink of elimination. The Dodgers beat them up again 10-2. That series now is 3-1 in favor of LA. Okay, so to Cleveland here, bottom of the ninth. Guardians down by 2. If they lose, they'd be down 3-0 in the ALCS to the Yankees. One man on, 2 outs, 2 strikes for John Kenzie Noel, otherwise known as Big Christmas. Here's the call from Brian Anderson on TBS.
Oh! Oh! Oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree!
It was a pretty good call, right?
Yeah.
So the Guardians would go on to win it in a walk-off home run in the 10th, but I still wanted to play the other home run call of Noel's. So this is from the Spanish version. Same play, bottom of the ninth, one on, 2 outs, 2 strikes.
Plato, Mateo!
How about that call?
I want to wish you a merry Christmas.
At some point there on the back end, did he say what happened? Because for about 15 seconds it was yelling and singing.
How awesome is that, though? Like, you can feel how a fan would feel at that moment. Just, like, flying high. Just hearing him say Merry Christmas would be enough for me to know. Okay, he tied the
right,
game.
Exactly.
One swing of the bat.
And how about all those Cleveland fans walking around today?
Oh, yeah.
Spring in their step.
Absolutely.
Feeling good.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Idea Man.
My buddy that I played pickleball with this morning, he drops his wife off at the airport. He's got the fob, but the fob is in his wife's purse.
Innovator.
He went all the way to our pickleball spot, and then when he got there, the car basically told him, you can't drive anymore.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
I was just amazed that the car let you go. I can understand. He was probably jamming to Led Zeppelin or something. But
it's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Tausch, of course, I want to ask you about the Packers on Sunday, but I want to throw a Badgers take in here for you. I was reading USA Today is reporting as the Badgers are set to go to Evanston to face the Wildcats for an 11 a.m. kick tomorrow, that the Big Ten and the SEC are at least talking about a long-term arrangement that would have 12 to 16 games annually between the two conferences in football. So we would again see more of the likes of Alabama and LSU and all those great teams from the SEC perhaps coming into Camp Randall.
Yeah, it's great for, I think, fans. It's great for the TV networks. From a player standpoint, especially early in the season, I know not everybody gets excited to see Central Michigan come into town or Western Michigan or any of the directional Michigan schools, but there is kind of that, well, there's no preseason. That's kind of where we're at. It's exciting from a college football standpoint. There's so much unknown, and I think that's great, but unless it's not great. So does Wisconsin want to play Alabama and Georgia one offseason? I would think maybe not. We already took our lumps against Alabama. So it's the way it needs to be is you need every week to have these big games because the money continues to grow. And I think the interest from a fan standpoint, we've seen it here already where – all right, one game where you kind of think it's not that intriguing. This has been the best home schedule Wisconsin's had in forever. We still have Penn State and Oregon coming into town, but it is going to be a heck of a challenge. And I think that's the challenge from a Wisconsin standpoint is you better be ready because every week is going to be a monster challenge if this SEC Big Ten thing kind of works itself out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. It's a trade-off for, okay, do you want to come into your conference schedule 3-0 or 4-0 every time, or do you want to have some of these big marquee matchups, or just let's get better?
There is
you have to get better. Right. Yeah, I mean, there's always that you want to measure up and get a look, and then there's also a point where you're going to, well, why am I doing this? As long as it's, I guess, everything's fair. Like, Iowa is also playing this, so if Iowa plays – you know, Mankato State, and then we're playing Georgia, I think at some point we're like, I don't think that's where we want to be. So as long as it's going to be uniform, but even when it's uniform, you're still going to – there's varying degrees of playing SEC football. Now, I know Vanderbilt went and beat Alabama, but I'm going to tell you this. I'd much rather play Vanderbilt than play Alabama if I'm right. Looking to find a way to win. No offense to Vanderbilt, of course.
All right, Sunday at noon, Lambeau Field, Packers, Texans. How you feeling?
I'm super excited, first off, because Houston's good. And I thought last week, and I don't know if you guys felt this, just being around your friends down and, you know, listening to your fans, it was, well, Arizona stinks. I got so, because Green Bay went and throttled. I know we talked about this on Monday. It just was like, I mixed it up, the Peanuts character with the little stank over the blanket. There's Linus, and then there's little cloud? Pigpen.
Yeah, the kid.
I mixed that analogy up, but it was almost like we were all Pigpen in it. Oh, well, yeah, it was great. We won by 21, but now this week we're not going to have any of that. Sunday, the postgame show. Monday, we're going to be talking about it. This is a big boy squad, and this is one of those. I know Kansas City and Baltimore are your favorites.
But I think
and the test is great. And what I really like is the matchup with Stroud and Love because both started about the same time. Stroud is a rookie. Jordan is a fourth-year player. But their careers, from a parallel standpoint, everybody loves Stroud. I think everybody's coming on board with Jordan. So even though they don't play against each other, you know how this goes. It's going to be matched up. Oh, well, if Jordan can elevate and take his team to victory – it's going to put him up another notch in kind of that quarterback tierdom of the NFL. The
thing about Pigpen is he's kind of sneaky smart if you get to the dialogue with that kid.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. Perception doesn't always match up with reality.
That's right.
I don't know why I always – did he carry a blanket around or what? Was
no.
It just his own
Linus
aroma?
Linus was the blanket.
It's the aroma that gave you the perception he actually
had.
Yeah,
he was kind of always in a cloud of dirt, yeah. Which I don't think you can make that character anymore.
And,
hey, here's the dirty
kid. Was Lucy with one of those two or was she always chasing around the piano guy?
Schroeder. She liked the piano
guy. Yeah, she liked the piano guy. Sally – she liked Linus.
Yeah.
Sally, Charlie Brown's brother.
Nobody messed with Pigpen.
No.
Nobody messed with Pigpen.
Yet they let him stay around.
No.
You know, they didn't excommunicate him. He was part of the group.
Great. great character in the Peanuts series. I forgot about it, but Linus, the whole thing. Bottom line is, we're not going to have the Linus / Pigpen conversation come Sunday.
Or maybe ever again. 7:59.
Probably not.
Wisconsin's Morning News. See you, Tosh.